from the Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. My guests in this segment are Kevin Cadeau and Jack Hartman, who are organizing one of Michigan Tech's summer youth programs that deals with aviation. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
If you guys could start off, just give us a little bit of background information on your involvement in aviation.
Well, we're part of the Civil Air Patrol, which is an auxiliary of the Air Force, and we're made up entirely out of volunteers, and there's over 60,000 members across the United States. And our probably claim to fame would probably be most for search and rescue, like if people are lost. And then if airplanes go down, we have avionics on board where we can track planes when their emergency locator transmitters go off. So we're involved with doing that, as well as aerospace education.
Mr. Herman?
Yes, and some of us in the Civil Air Patrol are pilots, and not all of us are. And Michigan Tech asked us to help teach their summer youth program for aviation and aerospace, and we said we'd love to. So we go down there, and this year it's July 14 through 18, and we teach it at Tech, and part of the program, of course, we bring them out to the airport where they get to actually fly a real airplane.
And how long have you personally been involved in aviation?
Myself, I hate to say the number of years, because it would really date me, but I'll start out with I started in the Air Force. I served in the Air Force for 6 years. Then I got out and joined the reserves, where I got to fly in the Air National Guard a bunch of hot fighters, including the F-16, the F-105, the A-7, and yada, yada. But I joined a commercial airline, TWA, and I spent 31 years with them. Mandatory retirement at age 60. I said, gee, what am I going to do now? So I flew for NetJets, flying rich people around to Masters golf tournaments, and flew Billy Graham around for a while and a few other people. And I thought, this is really good. Now I think I'll go to teach at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and I was a professor there for 4 years up in Prescott, Arizona. So I said, well, now what am I going to do? I think I'll join the Civil Air Patrol. It's a volunteer organization, and we do search and rescue, like Kevin mentioned. And here I am in Michigan in the Civil Air Patrol, and Michigan Tech asks us to come and teach their aerospace and the aviation summer youth program, and that's why we're here.
Mr. Cadeau, talk to me about what got you personally interested in getting into aviation.
Well, I was telling Jack about that earlier. It's kind of interesting. A friend of mine was a pilot, and I had never flown, not even commercially or anything, I think, at the time. And he said he was going to go to Oshkosh, the big air show that they have there every year. And he said, oh, I bet you you'd love that. And he said, oh, he goes, you seem like the type of guy that would make a good pilot. And it's like, he thinks I'm adventurous and whatever. And it's like, I thought, well, I'll go with you. It'll be fun. So we get there, and he's as soon as we got through the gate, he had to use the bathroom, so he's going to use one of these porta potties. And I'm like, okay, I'll just wait here. And all of a sudden, I hear this shh, and this fighter jet flies right over the runway, really low, and it was going so fast, the vapors were coming off of it. It looked like smoke coming off of it, and it was an F-14 Tomcat, like in Top Gun.
Yeah.
And then it corkscrewed straight up into the sky until it was out of sight. And my friend came out of the bathroom, and he goes, well, what was that? And I said, you missed it. An F-14 just flew over. I said, I got to check this aviation stuff out. And so when I got back, I checked on seeing about what it takes to get your pilot's license. Well, I'm only flying Cessna 172s and Pipers and that sort of thing, but it's still a lot of fun. And then after I was at Oshkosh all day and look at 11,000 airplanes, I was really hooked.
Mr. Herman, would it be safe to say that that was the same way you got involved?
No, I had no idea what that flying would be, as nice as it was. Mm-hmm. But when I do teach the summer youth program and I talk about different careers, I tell the people in the class, and this is a true story, we're flying across the Atlantic, and the sun was just rising over Ireland as we're coasting in after having crossed the entire Atlantic that night. And I looked over at the other pilot, and he looked at me, and the sun was rising, and he said to me, "You know, they're paying us to do this." Can you imagine doing a job that you enjoy immensely, and they pay you well?
Isn't that the American dream?
Yes, it was.
It's and what kind of people do they? People who get involved in aviation, do they have certain characteristics? Would you say, are they certain types of people?
You'd be able to answer that better than I would, since you.
Yes, they're intense people, I would say. Mm-hmm. They're not the kind that would be late for work. It's an amazing group of people, but to love aviation and be really professional about it is a characteristic of those that do well in aviation, I think.
Now, with the CAP, what kind of work do you guys do exactly?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, search and rescue. You know, sometimes there's missing hikers. Like a few years ago, we found some people that were missing for 3 days up towards Copper Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the emergency locator transmitters that can go off on a plane when it crashes. We have the capability to do those types of searches. Border patrol is something that Civil Air Patrol does. Not our unit so much, but on some of the states near the border that do, like near Mexico and that sort of thing.
And in terms of with the education aspect, is it just with Michigan Tech, or is this something where you try to hit all the kind of schools?
No, actually, we do go out and make different speeches to different groups, the Lions, the Kiwanis. Anybody that wants to hear about aviation will be glad to send someone out and get them encouraged towards aviation.
How would you gauge the interest in aviation specifically here in the Copper Country?
Well, for the summer youth program, we seldom get anybody locally taking the class.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know if they're not hearing about it or what it is.
Like from what areas do you...
I mean, like Houghton, Hancock, Calumet, that sort of thing. We've had students from 8 different countries 1 year, and we didn't have anybody local. I mean, people come from all over the world to take this course.
Have there been efforts made to try to get more people involved locally?
Well, one of it is like what we're doing today, you know, trying to publicize it in the papers, doing the radio, TV, that sort of thing. We do try to promote it, but I don't know why we don't get more interest locally.
To find out more about it, you can go to this one website, www.syp, which stands for Summer Youth Program, mm-hmm. .mtu.edu. And it'll show you not only our aviation and aerospace summer youth program, but it'll show you all the ones that Michigan Tech has to offer, including like backpacking in the Porcupine Mountains, how to do computer engineering, forensic science, chemical engineering. There's a wide variety. Of course, we're here promoting the aviation and aerospace.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guests, Kevin Cadeau and Jack Hartman. Let's get into the aviation classes. We talked about it earlier, about how it was, how'd you get involved with MTU? Was it basically you were just interested and they called you?
I believe that would be how it started. And then our squadron commander here in Houghton, you know, he told us about this opportunity that where we could instruct if we'd like. So, you know, pretty much everybody jumps at, yeah, I'll take a different class, one or another, you know. And then we have a lot of people in our group that are kind of like Jack. I'm a mere mortal. I haven't flown all over the world and that sort of thing. But we have a lot of people like him that were retired, you know, military pilots and airline captains and all that. So you're really going to get a great education when you get to talk to them. And then we have a lot of certified flight instructors also, anybody who comes to this, they're going to get a lot out of it if they put some effort into it. There's no doubt about it.
And how long has the class been? Has this class been taught?
I think it's been about 6 years now.
And I mean, where did the idea come from to have an aviation class? Was there a spark of interest from students?
I'm not exactly sure where it came from. I'm not sure if somebody at Michigan Tech had the idea, or maybe one of our squadron commander before possibly asked them if they'd be interested.
Mr. Harbin, in terms of the, I mean, curriculum, what is being taught, who makes that kind of decision?
Well, actually, I did. I'm the lead instructor for this particular point. I discussed the age group that we're going to teach, and the age group is grades 9 through 11. Mm-hmm. That's the only grades that can attend this summer youth program, ages 14 through 17. They can be flying an airplane before they can be driving a car.
What an opportunity.
There you go.
It is.
And I set up a fairly, keeping in mind the age group, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, enough for them to enjoy their flight and to enjoy the flight simulator that we have them fly in class.
From your perspective, would you say it's challenging, that it is a little tough?
There's definitely a lot to learn. I don't know if they're getting a fire hose put down their throat to digest it all, but they're getting a lot of information. And when we're teaching them, we always tell them, like when we do the flight simulator program, you could plug in different types of airplanes. And we tell them, no, we want you to fly the Cessna 172. The aerobatic plane's fun. The 747 mm-hmm. would be fun. But when you hop in the cockpit, it's not going to look anything like that. You know, you need to, like, focus on that. We give them free times where they can play with any kind of plane they want. But when they focus on that certain type, then at the end, like, we tell them, it's like, you need to know how to do this because we're going to be in the air. You know, and it's really important that you know what the stall speed is so the plane doesn't drop out of the sky. You need to know what speed you rotate, what you lift off at. You know, you have to know these different things and look at the different instruments and be able to interpret what everything is so you know what's going on. They're with an instructor or another pilot, and they don't usually fly when they're at lower altitudes. You know, they'll take them up to a safer altitude in case they start doing anything wrong, and an instructor's not going to let you do anything wrong anyway. It's like you're being in your mother's arms when you're with an instructor. When I was a student pilot, that's how I felt. If he told me, we're going to do a spin clinic today, and we studied about how to do it, we watched videos on it, I was comfortable to go purposely put the plane into a spin and do two full rotations and then recover, because it was like, hey, Mom's with me. I'm going to be fine.
And in terms of, I mean, over these 6 years that the course has been taught, I mean, looking at the courses and the lessons and everything, has it changed since it first began?
We tweaked it a little bit here and a little bit there. When we first taught it, we didn't have this one particular that I designed called Aviation Careers: Military, Airline, General Aviation, FAA, Airport Manager. It's a lead-in to how you could get into any of these careers, what the end game of that career is. How much does an air traffic controller make, for instance? How much does a drone pilot make, which I found out is considerable? So if you're good at video games and you want to be a drone pilot, we'll tell you how.
All those hours of playing video games finally paying off.
There you go.
Oh, now you're going to switch careers.
And by the way, it's got to be, they got to change the name from drone pilot to RPV. It's a remotely piloted vehicle, because there is a pilot making this vehicle go.
Making it go from point A to point B.
Yes.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guests, Kevin Cadeau and Jack Hartman. Let's get into the classroom, getting into the lessons. I mean, if you could talk about some of the courses and some of the lessons that you'll be teaching.
Well, the class that I'm teaching is the flight simulator program. And when we fly that, we set the computer up so we're flying out of Houghton Airport. Like if you want to do a flight plan, you can program in on the radios and stuff, so you're getting, you know, all the same things you would get out of Houghton. So you can navigate and fly out of here. Like say you want to do a flight, which we do on our last day, we do a round robin flight where we fly from out of Houghton on the simulator to Sawyer, Marquette, to Ontonagon and back. And then we have them doing it with different aviation equipment. Like you might fly like the GPS one way, and then you might fly an instrument called a VOR, and they use that to navigate, and then dead reckoning and that sort of thing.
And one of the classes before this flight in the simulator is where I teach them how to plot this course on a map, all about aviation maps. We even give them one to take home, and then how to fly the VOR, visual.
Very high frequency.
Very high frequency omni range.
That's why they call it a VOR.
That's a mouthful.
That's why they call it a VOR.
And so they've learned how to do this in class, and then Kevin has them do it in the simulator, and then I teach them about the instruments like the airspeed and the altimeter and the vertical velocity and the attitude indicator, and then they get in the airplane and they see those same instruments I taught them in class and say, I'll be darned.
It's right there.
It's right there. And it works just like he said it would.
Yep.
In terms of the classes, what is the format? Is there lectures, homework, tests? What's the format of the classes?
It's mostly lecture. I do have a typical FAA exam, 10 questions from the private pilot exam. And they usually do extremely well on those 10 questions. It's not that I'm just teaching them those questions, but they manage to do real well. So, darn, I bet after our class they could probably go out and pass the FAA written for private pilot.
And, Mr. Cadeau, in terms of, I mean, I don't want to put a percentage on it, but this is a week-long course. How much emphasis is put on the in-classroom lessons?
Well, the majority of the time is spent in class. The flying part might only be a half an hour to an hour for each student. But if you don't know how the plane works and you don't know, you know, what the instruments are, how are you going to fly the plane? So you have to have that background first so you'll be able to actually fly the plane.
Now, in terms of, we'll get to the second part, the simulations. Simulations, it's pretty much close to almost like you mentioned earlier, a video game of seeing what it looks like. How realistic is it?
Well, if you have a real high-end video card, it's really, really, the graphics are unbelievable. Ours aren't that exceptional, but it's still good. And the view that you have when you're flying a simulator, you've got a yoke or a joystick in front of you that you operate the controls with. And then when you're looking at your computer screen, it's the cockpit of the airplane and the windscreen, like, you know, the windshield. So you're looking out. So it looks like when you're flying, this is what it looks like. So it's pretty realistic. Of course, it's not as good as the real thing.
And this simulator is so accurate that if on their map it shows they should be passing this lake, you can look out the window and I'll be darned if that lake doesn't come by.
Right past you.
Yep. Right past you.
Now, I don't mean to undermine any of the work that's done in the classroom, but when the students transition from in the classroom to inside the simulator, what's the reaction that you guys see?
Well, the simulator is it's not like a full motion or anything like that. It's a computer screen, and they enjoy that a lot. But it's like when you see those people get out of the plane after they fly, they're jumping up and down and telling, like, I did this on this flight, and did you do that? Did you see this? And it's like they're so excited. It's like, how can you not be excited for them? It's really rewarding when you see that hard work and the things that you taught them, that they were able to fly and hold headings and hold altitudes and, you know, make these different turns and different maneuvers.
Now, when the transition is made from the simulation, what's this? The success rate. How about if you can get into that? Do students usually go successfully through all three phases, from the classroom simulations into real flight?
I would say the majority does, for sure.
And is that, I mean, that's attributed to the work that the instructors do?
Well, that's part of it, but the students still have to be interested, and, you know, especially if you have a student who's fired up about it before they come, they just can't eat it up fast enough. And then there's always some students that come that, you know, maybe their parents suggested they go, but that wasn't really what they wanted to do. They're sometimes not so enthused, but after they fly the plane, they are. Then it's kind of like they probably think, I wish I would have listened a little bit more.
I have them rate each class on a scale of 1 to 5, and 5 being a super keep it in next year. And they rate the flights always a straight five.
Like teacher evaluations almost.
Exactly. And 1 year I found that the weather section was not getting a very good rating, and it's because we were trying to be weathermen and telling them about cold fronts and warm fronts, whereas now we teach them, what does a commercial pilot care about? What weather phenomenon worries him the most? And I can tell you it's in order, thunderstorms, wind shear, mm-hmm. and we teach about those things that bother a pilot and how they're caused and how to get around them. And now the weather is getting a lot better rating.
In terms of them actually being on the flight, how involved, I mean, they're not super, super involved, are they? Like when they're actually flying.
They're doing it.
Really?
They are at the controls. The instructors are hands off. Unless for some reason they needed to take over, of course, they're there. But the instructors always say they did very well. And it's amazing.
There would have to be a high level of confidence for someone to just walk into a plane and be able to be like, I got this, don't worry.
Well, they've been involved with it all week, learning all about it, so it's not like they're going in there blind. Because like when I first started flying, I didn't take any lessons or anything or like have a ground school. I had the itch that I wanted to fly, so I went up with an instructor. I was pretty overwhelmed when I looked at all the gauges and switches and you know all the things going on. I thought, how does anybody know how to do this? But little by little, they teach you these things, and it would have been better if I would have spent more time in books or whatever, but I just was interested in flying, so I just started flying first. But then when the instructor says, well, you got to read this syllabus and this is what's coming up next, well, you want to read it because you want to do well.
Mr. Hartman, comparing aviation to so many other different fields of study, if you wanted to maybe pitch the idea of somebody getting into aviation, how would you do that?
Pretty much like I did describing that one flight across the Atlantic where it is so enjoyable and you can't believe that they're paying you to do this. I had a disagreement once with a neighbor when I lived in New Jersey, and he was complaining that he saw me around the house way too much. And how come you're always out there cutting your grass? Don't you ever go to work? And I say, yes, when I do, I go for 5 days straight on a particular trip, but it's all professional. And sometimes during my days off, I actually am studying because I may have recurrent training coming up. Do you go to recurrent training as a certified public accountant? If I make a mistake, people can die. If you make a mistake, you get to pull out your eraser. So do you think I deserve a few days off because of that? And I think I shut my neighbor up quite a bit.
Now, in terms of the classes, are there still any openings?
At this time, there still is. That's one of the reasons we wanted to try to promote this, to fill up the class. What's the most students that we can take?
15.
15, okay. And right now I think we only have 8, don't we?
That's correct.
And again, if you can give them the info, if they want to get involved, if they want to sign up, how can they do that?
Well, one is the Summer Youth Program website, which is www.syp.mtu.edu. But if you want to talk to a human about it over at Michigan Tech, her name is Liz Fajita, and her phone number is 906 487 1161, and she'll be able to answer questions about any of the explorations. And notice they're called explorations in that they're going to explore aviation. Maybe the person, after they explore it, says, this isn't for me. But this is a way to explore it in depth, including flying an airplane. And that's why they like it so much.
Alrighty, and that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank my guests, Kevin Cadeau and Jack Hartman, for coming here. And hopefully a good crowd shows up for next week's two weeks, the classes. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.